Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, co-creator of Kettlebell Kings and Life Grows Green, Chad Price.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Chloe Wedge. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so excited about tonight's show for many, many reasons. And actually, one of the reasons started yesterday. For those of you who follow me on social media probably know that I was master of ceremonies for the Enlightenment Music Series Memorial Concert yesterday, a celebration of life for lots and lots of major studio world-renowned musicians that have passed in just the past 2.5 years or so. So it took place at a church I've never been to, First German United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. And the pastor there, Pastor Kurt Poland, he said something at the end when he quoted Kierkegaard, Soren Kierkegaard, and he and his philosophy on life and faith, the aesthetics, the ethical, and the religious. And what he focused us on, at least what I got, was that he said we could let the music that we heard and the memories that we had experienced in that time be aesthetic. Like we could enjoy it, the music, and we could mourn in the moment. He said, or we could let it be religious and allow the music to remind us throughout our days going forward, and allow the memory of these people that we've lost to remind us how precious life is and how fleeting it can be, and how to care about each other for those that we care about, and being kind, etc. And so I mentioned that because it just happened, and because I am taking that at the word of how it was meant in passing it along and using it in my life throughout today and bringing it to the show. And so when I was speaking with our interview guest earlier today, I know he has been quite successful in his businesses. And I thought, now is something that the pastor said yesterday related to what is happening here with our guest? And potentially there is. We're going to talk about a couple of things. But I'll say this, the connection that I was getting is that he seemed to really care about learning and growing himself and helping his friends and business partners learn and grow and helping the fans learn and grow. And so I thought, well, that's instead of just an aesthetic experience, sounds like he's going more towards also like a religious experience, at least in the way that we're referencing it here. So I think that's probably a great approach going out into the world as we move and grow in business as the world needs to change.
The world needs to change, and the world needs that kind of community and connection.
See, now I didn't even use the word community, but that's what we're going to talk about, Mark.
Well, that's at the heart of this, and I guess I'm in that frame because I've been in meetings talking about community and entertainment and what we do here with Life Changes, and it just becomes increasingly clear to me, which is why another reason why I'm so excited about tonight's show, that this is key to what people are needing, and sometimes they don't even realize it.
I think it's king.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
So our guest, our interview guest, is a veteran entrepreneur. He's the co-creator of Kettlebell Kings and Life Grows Green. He is Chad Price. Chad, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Well, thank you for having me. Nice to meet everyone.
Are you surprised I got all that in listening to you today, or no?
No, you nailed it. I never really thought about it from a religious aspect, but I like the analogy, so I like where you're going with it.
Well, I like where you're going with it. And you know, it's interesting that Mark tuned into the community. We hadn't had a chance to speak before the show, and I wanted to tell him, like, we totally tuned into this guy and how he feels about things, because community came up in so many aspects. And I asked you, is it because, well, I asked you why you think, and tell us where you went with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think just a lot of my, you know, business philosophies are going to be surrounded with, instead of me trying to dictate where everyone goes or where a brand goes, it really is more of me trying to build a community that can provide feedback for whatever that may be. So, you know, if you take, you know, my first company, Kettlebell Kings, as an example, you're just using a centerpiece or a tool as a centerpiece for everyone to have a common goal or a common thread around.
Nice. And so, okay, so sticking on the community thread, actually, it's at the heart of what Kettlebell Kings really was, because you were with a group of friends. Now, before we get into the group of friends, you were with a larger company before, and was there community there, or was it lacking? And maybe that's what made you like, I need friends.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, I think it was lacking in what I would consider kind of your mainstream corporate America. Prior to working there, I worked for a small business, which I think I got more of the aspect of a community, because I was working in construction as a project manager. So running small teams, trying to complete projects, you know, anywhere from, you know, let's say 5 to 50 guys going out trying to complete some project, whether it be, you know, some seating project or home demolition. It's all, you know, just a matter of everyone kind of getting on the same page and trying to get the job done as efficiently as possible. And so I think I take a lot of that camaraderie and the teamwork effort that you put forth in those types of situations. And I think I, you know, try to apply that in other businesses, especially with my digital or e-commerce businesses.
And so teamwork, of course, you are no stranger to teams, and no better place to talk about teams than in actual teams in sports. Are all the sports you played team sports, or did you play solo sports too?
I mean, I pretty much played everything, but I probably shined a lot more in team sports. You know, I was always, not even knowing it when I was younger, I was always kind of the guy that was seen as like the level head, you know, the guy that could be more reasonable, break up fights, things like that. So I've always kind of admired the aspect of putting teams together, putting groups of people together and achieving a goal that, you know, we can't achieve individually.
So have you given thought to like where you got this level head and stopping the fights, and like we all, any thought to where that came from?
I think a lot of it comes from, you know, my childhood and upbringing. I you know, have a younger brother, younger sister. My parents had me young, so I really looked at life as a responsible person probably from an earlier age than most. You know, I always wanted to bring everyone together, set an example that brought people together, that inspired people to, you know, take one step in the right direction every day. And I try to build the same thing with every brand that I'm building as well. It's not about, you know, how fast you progress. It's about just the step or the journey towards progress.
So obviously, not everybody has those skill sets. Not everybody has the life experience that you have and the knowledge and all that. So what you're really signaling here is this is important and something that we want to look at as we build businesses, especially entrepreneurs. So you had a kind of a fast start because you had friends, college friends, right, that you started Kettlebell Kings with, right?
Correct. One was my college teammate, so we actually played football together at Rice. And then the other was a friend of one of my teammates. So, you know, it's kind of a social circle, social network from my college days. I had a couple people that, you know, talked about starting businesses. But once we got kind of got into corporate America and realized you know, this is kind of it. It's not going to be anymore. It's just going to be kind of more of what we were already doing. It made it pretty easy for us to realize we wanted to start our own company. So we knew we wanted to start something that was digital. I've always been kind of a stickler or a fan of technology. So I wanted to start some type of brand that could basically live and exist outside of, you know, physical assets. You wouldn't have to go to a physical location. You wouldn't have to go to a physical store. I wanted to kind of bring all of that to you, whether that's through your cell phone or laptop, whatever digital device you choose.
Well, that's certainly important today and going forward. So when you started this kettlebell company, kettlebells weren't as big as they are now. And actually, you and your friends and the company have made it that much bigger and that much more accessible. And actually, that much more accessible because of the community. Tell us about how that build was and why.
I think the good thing about companies and brands, especially if you have something, a brand or a mindset of constant growth or constant learning, is when we started the company, I didn't really know much about kettlebells, for example. So I was really looking to find every global expert that existed on the planet and interview them, get content from them, follow them socially, whether or not, you know, they're on YouTube, Instagram, whatever social channel that may be, and try to learn as much as I can and then aggregate as much information from all the experts that I could into a place where the community itself would find value and try to grow from. So whatever brand that, you know, I'm trying to work with, I'm always trying to kind of build that library of knowledge that helps people on that journey of just self-progress in whatever topic or brand they're interested in.
Wow. So everybody grows on the heels of what you're learning as well. So that was interesting to me for many reasons. But let's get back to the community aspect once again, and actually let's bring it down to the team. So actually lately I've been life coaching a couple execs, and one of them, actually both of them, it's interesting because it just seems like that's how we used to do things. Have people on their team that they don't really like or don't really respect, but they're good at what they do, but they kind of do it on their own and they're not team players. And so there's this kind of experience that doesn't make it fun to go into the office, doesn't make it fun like we're all working towards the same goal. And I thought about something that you said in relation to that, and that you know, people gotta, you know, rally around the brand, but don't you have to have some kind of bonding, respect, or care about each other in the team nowadays, especially?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think it's the job of the leader or, you know, the CEO, the founder, whoever that may be, to kind of set that tone and to maintain that tone. So, you know, for example, if you're talking about like working in a kettlebell warehouse, that's not going to be a very fun job. It's, you know, lifting literally thousands of pounds daily. You could just as easily go lift t-shirts and get paid the same amount. It takes more of an appreciation and a mindset of I like being involved or involved or associated with individuals who are trying to progress. So as much as it is just clocking in, it's also the benefit of being around like-minded people who want to see you grow, want to see you do better, and are willing to help you and assist you kind of along the way. So I think that's the core concept that you try to start from the beginning. Easier said than done, but once you get a couple people that buy into it, it just becomes, you know, a snowball effect.
Wow, want to see you grow, want to see you succeed. That's so great, and also for themselves, right? It's actually interesting because you're already in a personal growth kind of field with being in like the kettlebells is for maintaining body strength and health and even aesthetics, of course. Now you are again in skin and beauty products, right? So what is your relation to maintaining our body or health or physical fitness?
Yeah, I mean, I think that health and wellness has always been a big part of my life. I've always played sports, always been, you know, an athletic person. The more that I've gotten into business, I've just noticed the more products that steer away from, you know, natural, organic type of approach to whatever ails us, whether that's skin or beauty, supplements, CBD products, the stigma around cannabis and the hemp plant. All these different things to me are just in the way of us actually living a natural and healthy existence. So, you know, I want to provide for a community of people who want trusted products and want to know about products that are organic and only going to be the least processed or non-processed natural state of that particular product.
So would you say then for people that are looking to start businesses of their own, especially nowadays, that they look at what's of interest to them, like where their life has kind of taken them, or what they need to do maybe themselves or learn and grow, and see how that can apply out into the community or the world?
I think that's a good starting point. You know, I don't think everyone is lucky enough to kind of have that vision. Mm-hmm. Before you start. So, you know, I look at it very similar to like if you were to go to college. I think starting successful business is going to be harder than graduating from college. So you would at least need to kind of commit that level of conviction or that level of time and effort towards the journey. Even if you have to, you know, shut that business down, bring out new products, you know, it's never an easy pathway to get to success, especially in a competitive business world. So if you have the passion behind it from the start, then great. I think someone like myself, I didn't know I was going to start a kettlebell company. I just wanted to start my own company. Kettlebells was on a short list of other products that, you know, I thought I could put passion behind and build online communities around.
So you mentioned a lot of things there, closing businesses, if one has to close a business. In your case, you achieve that level that somebody wants to buy your business. I'm just curious, before we go to a break here real quick, that's something, I mean, that's your baby. How was that experience for you?
It's definitely a new experience. You know, I think when you are involved in something for, you know, 10 years, it's always going to be a hard separation. It's going to be a new chapter for you. But I think the community aspect of it is what gives you that sense of fulfillment as well, because you know that you have built and left something that's, you know, better than when it started. So, you know, it's kind of like one of those leave the world in a better state than when you got here type of deal.
Okay, well, we're going to go on a quick break here, but we're going to come back and talk more with our interview guest, Chad Price. And of course, if you want to learn more about Chad or follow Chad, you can go to our webpage at lifechangesshow.com and find all the links to Chad. But basically, Real Chad Price is where you'll find him a lot. Chad Price, Real Chad Price. I mean, look, but he's on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Again, we have all his links up on our webpage for Chad Price. When we come back, we're going to talk more about business and community, growing that community around the business and the business around the community. And a little later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment and then live music with our performance guest, Chloe Wedge, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are having a conversation that matters with our interview guest, Chad Price, who is a veteran entrepreneur, co-creator of Kettlebell Kings and Life Grows Green. He's talking to us about business, about community, about caring what our business is, or learning more about the things that we care about and sharing that with other people. You know, Chad, I was laughing to myself when I was remembering, and we don't have to mention the company, but I thought it was brilliant what you said. You said, I could never own a chain of blank company because I'd want to make a better burger. Could you explain what the conversation was around that?
Sure. Let's just say fast food chain.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the concept of improving the product or improving whatever service that you're offering to people, constant knowledge, constant mastery of whatever your craft is, has to be a core concept to have a respectable community. If you're not really focused on whatever that is, I think it's very easy to just to go, viral or trendy, and easily go to the wayside. But when you have that core focus, if you were a fast food restaurant, I think you should be working on making your food better, but that's not typically how our, how our culture works or how our modern mm-hmm. fast food works. But that's kind of where I was going with that. With the companies or the brands that I work with or build, I'm always trying to build something that can constantly improve itself. If we're in the same place or selling the same product 5 years from now, we've either created some miracle product or we're just not worried about improvement.
So earlier in our conversation here on the show, you mentioned how not everybody's fortunate enough to have, like you have, an interest in fitness or however it was that you said it. In other words, so this is something that you could build a business around. But, people could have an interest in business. Like, they could have an interest in tools, social media tools. And so they just want to be on those tools. And it doesn't really matter the product in the sense that they really care about bringing stuff to people, right? So it's finding what excites you and sharing that with your community, I think, right?
For sure. I mean, I would never suggest for anyone just, you know, quit their job today and start a new business tomorrow. You know, you're taking quite a bit of risk. You have to put food in your mouth. There has to be some strategy to a startup, to starting a new business. So you can dabble and try to find those interests by working digitally, especially in today's world where, you know, maybe 50 years ago that wasn't the case. But today you can pretty much do any job remotely part-time if you just put yourself in the right situation, whether that's through freelancing or, you know, taking an actual part-time position. I looked at starting the business as an additional job. It was an additional part-time position. Once I saw I had enough traction, that's when I, you know, felt comfortable enough actually transitioning over to going to my business full time and getting away from corporate America.
So once you've built the brand, I thought this was an interesting analogy too, that people are then coming to the brand. And of course you have to, if you want to be successful, be loyal to the brand, like keep bringing to people what the brand represents, right? But you get to a place where actually you do exactly what you just did. You can sell the company, and so you're interchanging the players and the coaches is how you described it, right? So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think once you build something that has a culture, a community of people know what types of things, what types of content get the most engagement, what types of things are seen as the most credible. Once you kind of foster that, it really can run itself. So, you know, one of the things we pride ourselves on is having created is kind of a self-growing advertising machine, because that community will grow with or without us. We don't have to actually put advertising dollars for it to grow. It's so focused on finding and bringing new people in and rewarding those people with social engagement. It's almost like using the algorithm in a, you know, in its most evil form, but to do something good.
And almost conversely, but almost the same thing, in that once the company and the community take hold, they can become something else. I mean, not something else, but it's almost an entity on its own. And do you kind of have to step back or say, like, because like if you grow in a certain direction, but that's not what the company is, then it's not right to go in and say, I'm going to make it go this way, right? Because it hurts people then, right?
I think that's a problem that a lot of leaders have, especially if you don't come from a foundation of continuous growth. So any company that I start, I really try to go in like I don't know anything about anything and learn from scratch, so that when we get to a point of, let's say, a fork in the road where half of the community thinks we should go this direction, half of the community can go another direction, I am well versed enough in the topic to make those critical decisions. A lot of times that will just equal satisfying two different products or satisfying two different groups of people. You don't necessarily have to build conflict. And I think that's the core concept of a community, is every time it tries to branch out and separate itself and, you know, choose red and blue, you come back to the center and say, hey guys, we're really here for this. We'll provide you with something so that both people can have and experience this.
So in the time we have remaining, let's talk about you're so good with the tools, and you kind of started out that with tools on the internet, you know, on the web, on social media, saying, I want to use these as the core of my business. So that was the direction. Tell us about that decision, how it makes a difference, and how people can start to use these more in their businesses. I mean, in simple terms, because we only have a few minutes.
Sure. I think a lot of the tools, digital tools especially, that we have available to us today are revolutionizing the potential or the capacity for like one individual to get things done, or especially a small team of individuals. So, you know, if you have a skeleton crew of 3 to 5 people, between tools and vendors, you can probably get 99% of what a small business needs to get done. You know, it's when you really try to go to that global medium to large business where you really start having to bring in more bodies. But as you can see with things like ChatGPT and just the pace in which modern technology is taking away the need for so many different jobs and so many different actually roles in companies, if you're not building that into your infrastructure, you're not going to be competitive in the future with companies that are building that into theirs. And I think that's what it really boils down to, is you have to look at it as an efficiency exercise at all times as well.
So you can do obviously so many things with all of what you spoke about. At the same time, people can get lost in that and not realize that there are actual people on the other side of this. So you always have to keep the people in mind or the community in mind, right?
For sure. I look at the community as an R&D department. They are constantly telling us what they want. You know, even if it's, you know, to your point, like if it's something that I disagree with, I love that knowledge. I like to be surprised. Like I could not believe these people wanted this. That's something that helps the company grow. It gives us insights that we're obviously missing if we didn't already have, like, say, a product that the community really wanted. And, you know, I think every single business has a list of people, has, you know, their top 20% customers, top 5% customers, whatever that be. They have an ideal demographic of people who have needs and wants. And if you can tap into that and get them to trust you with going out to source those products for them, it makes the business a lot easier.
Yeah, I don't have the exact quote that I was getting from you while we were chatting earlier, but something that struck me also is paving a journey for them and building a product alongside of them. That there's a lot of brilliance in there. Do you remember what we were talking about when we talked about that?
Yeah, we were just talking about, I try to look at it almost like, you know, everyone is on a path to success, or what their version of success, whether that's their health and wellness, you know, personal business, whatever that may be. And we want to provide, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a business, we want to provide some type of assistance or service that pushes you in that direction. So we're kind of trying to gear you up and give you as much content as we can while you're on this journey. And then whatever services or products you need while you're there, we'll figure that out together as we go along. But the first key concept of building the community is really getting them to value you without having to buy a product and value the information that you're providing for
them. Chad, I am so glad we got to connect with you and have been sharing a little bit of your story here. Is there anything that you would like to end our talk with that we haven't touched on about Chad Price?
The only thing I would say is, you know, I'm super passionate about the new project that I'm working on, Life Grows Green. You know, it's one of the things that I think our overall health and wellness really suffers now from, just how we're advertised to, the things that we're told are natural, okay, or safe to ingest or put on our bodies. So if you're looking for a community that of people and a community of products that you can trust and know they're coming from a natural source at all times, I would highly encourage you to check us out at Life Grows Green.
Well, you know, I don't have the website. Is it lifegrowsgreen.com maybe?
Yeah, it's just lifegrowsgreen.com. Social media, you can find us as well, Life Grows Green. We're on all your popular platforms. We try to produce a lot of social content around the products we offer, but then we also are producing blogs and informational content around health and wellness, CBD, modern studies that are coming out around health and wellness, or natural products and health and wellness. So it's really a community of people that's just starting, and we're looking to build people that, you know, have that like mindset of wanting to really know and trust the products that they choose to use along with their health and wellness journeys.
Well, Chad, thank you so much. What a pleasure to get to talk with you, learn from you, and share your story with our audience. And as I was moving away from my notes, I saw one last thing that I had written, and it's something you said earlier when we spoke today. Do the right thing, even when it's hard. Thank you for sharing as you have with us today. And again, you can go to our website and learn more about Chad Price there, and learn more about his product, the new up and coming Life Grows Green. Chad, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Nice to meet everyone. Thank you for having me.
Wow. Okay. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Victoria from San Diego. I have missed your gatherings since you moved to LA, and I'm blessed that you still answer my questions, even though I don't see you in person. Please tell me how you managed to get through these troubling days with all of the disasters worldwide and with the daily disasters occurring in the U.S. I do my best to focus on the good, but I'm overwhelmed with so much negativity everywhere. I love my family, but whenever I have conversations these days, all they want to talk about is the unpleasant happenings in the world. My ability to find happiness is almost non-existent. Please help me.
Dear Victoria, please understand that happiness starts with you. It doesn't start with your family or your circumstances. It starts within you. Happiness doesn't happen naturally to any of us. We must choose it, and it is not always easy to do this. However, we can do it despite the chaos all around. Many years ago, William Arthur Ward said that happiness is an inside job, and this totally resonates with me. And I have discovered that happiness truly comes from our own actions, thoughts, and words. So, dear Victoria, if you want happiness, you must choose it by remembering that we have the power to create it. For way too many years, I was not aware that I was the one deciding if I was happy or not, because I chose reaction instead of reflection. And now I choose to find the good in every negative event that occurs, because I truly believe that there are great gifts in all of the less than elegant choices of my past and present. So let's pay attention to how we approach each moment of every day. There are many good books on this subject that can assist you in becoming more aware of your creative abilities. A helpful tool to show you how to create more daily happiness can be found in the book Happiness is an Inside Job by Sylvia Borstein, PhD. Victoria, you are brilliant, and I feel that you could easily shift into a happier state of mind by becoming more mindful of where you put your attention. Please let me know of your progress as you practice more and more of your awareness of your ability to create happiness.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Chloe Wedge, live on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our performance guest here on The Life Changes Show is singer-songwriter Chloe Wedge. Welcome, Chloe, to the Life Changes Show.
Hi.
Hi. How good to see you. I got to talk to you earlier, but I didn't see you. And here you are, looking beautiful and sounding beautiful. You know, do you remember earlier, you blew me away with something I didn't expect you to even do. I asked you if you would mind just belting something out. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you didn't hesitate. And then I learned this whole story of how you've been doing that since you were 3 years old.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Like from the beginning of like my singing journey?
Yeah, like you don't remember the 3-year old part.
Oh, but, no.
But you were told.
Yeah, when I was 3 years old, I was at this talent show with my older sister, and my parents told me that I completely stole the show and I like overshined my big sister, and all the only line I had was hot chocolate, and my mouth was just like hot chocolate, and I just, everyone was so impressed. And then my parents got me into vocal lessons, and around when I was 5, and then I was too nervous. I would always cover my face when I would do it. So they're like, okay, she's not ready for this. And then when I was around 7, I went to the farmer's markets with my dad because he's a chef. And I would always see the musicians on the stage. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to go on that stage. And so I went and I asked them if I could sing on the stage. And they let me. And ever since then, I've been doing performing and singing and going to LA and Las Vegas and singing on the strip and sleeping in the car and all of that. And yeah, I've been doing music ever since, and I'm now 18, so a really long time of doing music, and I'm going to keep on doing it until, you know.
You're just going to keep on doing it. Well, you obviously sound like you were born to do it, and one of the things that I really appreciated about getting to know you and your music is you know, you say you're still young, but nowadays kids are experiencing so many things at such young ages, and at least or are aware of what they're experiencing, where before people might have been experiencing but didn't really know. So that leads to different kinds of things that we're calling depression and anxiety and stuff like that. And so you've been through your version of that, and we don't have to get into it, but I mean you just throw out like sleeping in the car. Yeah, I mean all of this, yeah, combined. So Chloe, you're writing about it, and why is that important to you?
Currently I still am struggling with that. Just being able to write songs with getting like writing down how I'm feeling and getting, I don't know, it's like it's a good coping mechanism.
Yeah, it is.
And like being able to just I don't know, just write my feelings and write how I'm doing and just write it into a song. And I don't know. Yeah.
We're gonna get to hear a song like that, and what we were talking about is that it supports other people when they hear somebody else is going through something and singing about it and sounding so good doing it, and those words can stick with us and we can sing them to ourselves and feel better if that's what they need to do at that moment, or help them focus on what's happening. So,
right. I like what you said with the relating, because others can relate to what I write, and that's also why I like doing it too, just so I can link. Because I know a lot of people are struggling with that, especially in this generation. Like, so many people are struggling with depression and all of that, and so it's good to have something that you can relate to.
Okay, so this is going to be fun. So you have this adorable, sweet, wonderful voice when you speak, and then comes out this singing voice. Okay, so I didn't ask you this, but do you have like 30 seconds of something you could just belt out for us before you go into the actual songs you're going to do?
I do.
Oh, okay. You go whenever you're ready. Doing something.
This is another song that I wrote called Unlovable, and it's pretty much about feeling like I'm unlovable. So here's my 30 seconds. What have I become? I'm disappointed in myself. How can I move on if all I do is mess things up? I always wonder why no one has ever loved me, but it all makes sense now, 'cause I'm unlovable. Whoa, whoa, oh, I'm unlovable. Whoa, whoa, I'm unlovable.
Chloe, besides you sounding great, gosh, so many people feel like that they don't even love themselves, right? So... wow. Well, thank you for doing that. And like I said, you blew me away earlier today with something that you're actually going to sing for us now. So tell us about this song.
This song is my first ever original song called Throw Away the Key. And I wrote it during COVID. It took a long time of writing it. I wrote it with my team, James Stanley and Charles Dorman. And it's pretty much about being independent and not needing a guy. But I was also 16 when I wrote this, so I was all like, I don't need a guy, I don't need to fall in love. And especially with the teenagers, like, they're very immature, you know. And so it's pretty much about being independent and not needing anyone, and to just throw away the key.
Well, you sing it, Chloe. This is Chloe Wedge singing live online here on the Life Changes Show. Her original song, this one was released already, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Throw.
Well, you can find it on, if you search on music platforms, you can find it searching Chloe Wedge.
Chloe Wedge. Okay. Here's Throw Away the Key.
Here we go.
Boy, you're trying to get me off your mind. Don't ever try to waste my time. I keep the focus all on me, and I don't ever want to compromise. I've always stayed between the lines. I hope that my time. I don't need to fall in love. You just couldn't give enough for me. If you're walking through my door, turn around, I always already have me. I don't even need the drama. All the lies can stop right here with me. You don't get to feel my love. Just throw away the key. Just throw away the key. Stop as I'm walking to my throne. All around me, time slows down. Voices in my head grow loud. And I don't need your compromise. I'm going to try this on for size. I only bow to me. Couldn't give enough on me. If you're walking through my door, oh, turn around, I already have me. I don't even need the drama. All the lies can stop right here with me. You don't get to feel my love. Just throw away the key. Just throw away the key. Just couldn't give enough on me. If you're walking through my door, just throw away the key.
Chloe Wedge, thank you so much. Wow. You know, I'm having fun. You're on video here, at least for. Hopefully, we'll get to use this extract. Excerpt elsewhere, but in the meantime, I'm enjoying watching you. And if you're enjoying hearing Chloe, you could follow her, learn more about her. Basically, Chloe Wedge Music is where, you know, it's Chloe Wedge or Chloe Wedge Music on social media and ChloeWedgeMusic.com. So you can go to LifeChangesShow.com and we've got all her links there for you to connect and learn more about Chloe. Speaking of learning more about Chloe, you are more amazing than you know. As a matter of fact, I thank you to Tess Cacciatore for connecting with Julian Miranda and Julian saying, you need to have Chloe Wedge on the show, and here you are. So thank you to them, but it also means that they think that highly of you. And I'm thinking about your song, I'm Unlovable. You know, just before you and I, we were supposed to connect earlier today, and then we couldn't. And when I learned the reason, and we don't have to talk about it specifically, but and then we finally connected afterwards, you're also helping take care of a special needs brother, is that correct?
Yes, my brother Shannon. He has special needs. It's a rare condition where He is paralyzed from his hips down, and he has a feeding tube. And so I take care of him, and I change him and feed him and give him baths and play with him and hang out with him. And pretty much his life is in my hands, but it's an amazing job. And I mean, I've been taking care of him my whole life, so it's like nothing new. But yeah, my big brother, I love him a lot, Shannon. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, I trust he feels he's lucky to have you. And I feel like we're lucky to have you sharing with us in the way that you do. You know, here's something that you'll never get to have to say again. Quote unquote, you said something like, I can sing easily, but when it comes to talking, I'm so bad at it. You'll never have to say that again, because you can watch this over and over again and go, darn, I'm so good.
Oh, yeah.
You are. I'm enjoying myself, and I know the audience is too. So tell us about Falling. Which is not out yet.
Falling was also written during COVID, and Falling is about depression and feeling lost and hopeless and also feeling like nobody cares about you. There's a verse that says something around the lines of like, nobody cares about me. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to that, where you feel like nobody cares about you. I mean, I feel like that a lot, where I overthink and get in my head, and I just really feel like nobody cares about me. And Falling is also a ballad. It's a beautiful song. There's in the instrumental break, there's this a cello. Oh, the cello is so beautiful. You guys are gonna love it. I'm excited for Falling. Falling will be coming out around in April, so make sure to keep an eye out on that, because I'm excited for you guys all to hear it.
Well, we're excited, and so here we are. We get to hear it first. Like, nobody has heard this yet. So here is Chloe Wedge, and I should spell that W-E-D-G-E. And Chloe, for those who don't know, spell Chloe, C-H-L-O-E, right? Chloe Wedge. Here's Chloe Wedge singing live online on the Life Changes show. Her original song, it hasn't come out yet, Falling.
Here we go.
In the open, no one sees me. I take a breath, but it hurts so bad. And it comes and goes so fast. My lungs are filled with shards of glass. They never seem to care enough for me. All these nights I lay in bed, and all these thoughts around my head, the pain that sits beneath my skin, I built these walls, can't let you in. 'Cause I'm falling, falling, can't escape my mind. I'm stuck again, and I'm falling, falling, running out of time. There is no end. If I were gone, now would you miss me? I never knew how hard life could be. Through the years I've lost myself, feeling stuck in my own hell. They never seem to care enough for me. All these nights I lay in bed, and all these thoughts around my head. The pain that sits beneath my skin, I built these walls, can't let you in, 'cause I'm can't escape my mind. I'm stuck again. Falling, falling, running out of time. There is no end. Crying out for help. Can't escape.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I'm sad we're running out of time here on the show, because I would love to hear you sing some more and share some more. But real quickly, I want to let everybody know again, ChloeWedgeMusic.com, Chloe Wedge Music on Instagram, Chloe Wedge YouTube and Facebook, Chloe Wedge Music. And if you forget, go to Life Changes Show and look up Chloe Wedge and you find all of her links there. Chloe, we're coming towards the end of our time together. I'm just, how did you feel about this?
I felt really good. I think I did good.
You did. And I was going to say, here's another quote that I like from you. On stage, I'm really confident. On stage, I'm 100 million percent confident.
Yes.
Oh, you say that, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I think you're getting closer to that 100 million percent confident also in getting to interview and, you know, or be interviewed. You know, didn't share this with the audience earlier, but this is the first live interview. And so, congratulations. Proud of you.
Thank you so
and
much.
Thank you for sharing your beautiful sentiment and heart and music with all of us.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys letting me be able to share and sing for you guys. So thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Can we give a shout out to your dad, Scott Wedge, for arranging and making things happen around this?
Yes.
There, always there. And so with that, thank you so much, Chloe. All the best, and look forward to hearing more of your music out in the world and on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. It was amazing being here.
And with that, that is our show. With a big thank you to Chloe Wedge and a big thank you to our interview guest, Chad Price. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely changed tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.